This is the Van City Midweek Podcast. You're listening to a discussion about being a witness and spiritual formation.
So we're here with our midweek podcast, and my name's Patrick, and I'm here with Cam.
Hey.
And Levi.
Hey.
And Cam, you just did a teaching on witness, and we thought, you thought it'd be fun to have a conversation following that up with some extra conversation.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of based on this idea of like the Holy Spirit coming and empowering us, and we're then made into witnesses, and thinking about that through this like potential lens of like all or nothing, you're either one or you're not, you know, versus like approaching it through like a formation sort of lens of, yeah, the Spirit makes you a witness, and then you kind of spend the rest of your life figuring out what that is and what that looks like and how that changes through various seasons of life. So I wanted to have a conversation, the three of us, about kind of the progression that we've all experienced in that over the years of being a witness.
Sure.
So like to kind of circle back from what we talked about in the teaching about, you know, kind of the witness doing these kind of three fundamental things. They do more than this, but they don't do less than this: the justice, mercy, and evangelism. And then just like a quick definition of each, or a way that we can think about each: justice as the setting right of a situation or structure that is exploitative, dehumanizing, and or demeaning. We can think of mercy as the practice of compassion and kindness that is unearned or undeserved. And then evangelism, we can think of as the sharing of the good news of Jesus with words. So I just wanted to have a conversation around these three things about, you know, maybe starting with what you feel most passionate about, what you feel most excited about, or most alive when you do those things, kinds of things. Love to hear from you guys about what that is.
Yeah. So I'll start. I think that for me, like when I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church in a deep South tradition. So we had a strong evangelism, you know, pushing, you know, it was like, I remember going to Savannah, they had all these parks and you would pass out tracts to people, you know, in middle school or whatever. That was what they told us that we had to do to be good Christians. And I mean, did you guys ever do something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, or like the knocking on people's doors, like youth group kind of stuff of, you know.
Right. So it's not
tell
like
you about Jesus you guys want to come to church, right. Or, you know.
Did you guys have the like $1 trillion bills, the fake ones?
I don't think we had those.
Those are cool, man.
We were on a low budget.
In sixth grade, you're like, could this be real?
Can I somehow pass this off as real money?
Yeah. And we had these, I don't know if we used these, but they had these chick tracks. Do you remember those that were like horrible?
And
they
would chick tracks?
What? Yeah. It was always like a story. And the scenario would be a person who was experiencing sin, and they would always end up in jail or with AIDS or dead or something. And it would be like, this could have been prevented if you read your Bible. And we're like, oh man, that's crazy.
Sounds solid.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. There's a whole lineup. Anyway, that's bad. You're right, you know, let's not do that.
Didn't you guys like in the South have those like a Halloween, they didn't call them like hell houses or something?
Oh yeah, judgment houses.
Oh, judgment houses, mm-hmm. You know?
That was a witness thing too. You would go and walk. Did you guys have those here?
No. I never
experienced anything like that.
Yeah. It was weird. Now you go through and you watch a teenager go through a scenario. They would like go to church and say, I don't want to go to church. I want to go to a party. And then they would get drunk and get in an accident. And then you would go to another room and they'd be in hell, and there would be like metal music playing and, you know, red lights everywhere. And then you're like, or it could have been.
I'm not going to say what I'm thinking.
Then we go upstairs to heaven and it's a white room with cotton everywhere and like harp music playing it. And you can't help but think, this is the lamer.
Like, yeah, hell seems more fun. Like, I like this music.
Yeah. So that was my initial introduction to witness and evangelism of you have to go and you have to tell people about this stuff in this way. You know, you have to like kind of scare them, gloom and doom them.
Mm. Yeah, I think that for me, you know, I grew up in the church and I think there was, we didn't have as maybe an intense kind of a push for that sort of evangelism, but I think I definitely had that sort of, there was that mindset in the church of, you know, you got to be out doing this kind of stuff or the, you know, the street preaching, you know, like take your Bible, go out there and try to just save people on the street corner kind of a thing. And honestly, that was always like, that stuff kind of felt really hard to me or really like awkward or whatever. And I think for a lot of years growing up, I felt like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Does that make me a bad Christian? Or does that make me like, does that mean I don't care about people if I don't want to like, you know, Bible thump them into heaven or something? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, totally.
That's kind of the feeling I got of like, oh, I'm doing this wrong, or it's, yeah, I'm a bad Christian or whatever, because I don't like have this desire to go out and like, you know, to shout at people and try to get them saved kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I, you know, looking back at my life, so, you know, in the teaching, I talk about like evangelism being a big thing, but before that, like, you know, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist and it was like a subculture of the Christian subculture. So it was a bit more insular in a sense. So evangelism actually wasn't a thing that was on my mind a lot growing up in that church. What we did do was go and like feed homeless people in downtown Portland. And that was actually really impactful for me to the point where, you know, in my early 20s, late teens, walking away from Jesus, early 20s, coming back. And kind of the first thing that I knew I wanted to do to be like what I thought was like an authentic Christian was go and feed homeless people. I was like, that seems like a Jesus thing to do. And so me and some friends, like, you know, we're working our minimum wage jobs.
To be clear, that is a
Jesus
thing.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, but the way we went about it, the way we went about it was still good, even if it was a bit misplaced in our efforts. But, you know, me and a few friends working our minimum wage jobs pooled our money together and bought like $50 worth of Carl's Jr. hamburgers. Remember that? It was Carl's Jr.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep. I don't know if those are where they rank on the hamburger list. I don't know if we were doing people a favor or not so much.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, yeah. So Carl's Jr.
I don't know.
Carl's Jr. hamburgers, and we just walk around passing hamburgers out to homeless people. And we did that a few times, and it was impactful and it was good. And, you know, I think looking back, it was like that, you know, I'm proud of my 20-ish year old self for doing that. And also I can acknowledge that, like, there's a bunch of organizations doing it a lot more effectively that could use like the volunteer, the manpower, you know, the serving in that way. And that's okay too. But I think that had really stuck with me kind of in my adolescence going into kind of early adulthood.
When you were passing out hamburgers, did you have conversations with people ever? Or was it just kind of like, here you go, man, have a good night?
Yeah, mostly. I think we're a bit probably tentative to say Jesus stuff to people. I think we're just like, hey, you know, I think maybe our version of it was like, hey, have a blessed day. You know, which just kind of shows where we were at trying to figure out all this Jesus stuff. We're all pretty kind of raw with it. So I don't even know if we would know what to say to somebody if somebody was like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing where you, in my experience anyway, where you're told to do this thing. And then even as like a middle school, high school, 20-year-old, you see that like, oh, this is important. People need to know this stuff. They don't know about Jesus. Then somebody should tell them about it because it's a good thing. But how do you do that well without being like, you know, ruining somebody's picnic by giving them a tract that horrifies them or, you know... giving them a hamburger that might mess their stomach up or whatever the situation is.
You've had this hamburger sitting out in the open for how long now? In your
hours.
Yeah.
3 hours. Mayonnaise in the baking hot sun.
I will say we encountered many times going to hand somebody a hamburger and then being like, no thanks, I'm a vegetarian. And we just hadn't, we didn't know how. I was a vegetarian.
I was going to say, you're a son of the advocate.
But I was like, what? Like, how, just, aren't you supposed to always want the food? It was a very flattened idea of the humans that are experiencing homelessness.
Right, right, yeah. Just swipe that patty off, give them some bread, I guess. Maybe that's better for a Carl's Jr. burger. I don't know.
Still soaked in still hamburger soaked, grease. Yeah. That's vegetarian, right?
It's close. But, you know, also on that note, another thing we did, or I was taught, is that you have to go other places in the world. Mm. So we had short-term mission trips. And then it was always, maybe you guys experienced this too. You go and you help like build something or do a quick Bible school somewhere. And then, you know, you have Cam, you told a funny story about this in the teaching, but it was stuff like that where you try to like, you know, not Jesus juke them per se, but you kind of are, you know, you can't
do
help
the
it.
Skits on the street. I did one trip. Yeah. Where, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to put on the little like play skit thing. Just start blasting some music in a public place and put on this skit. And it's like, I don't know, I guess try to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
It'll attract a crowd for sure.
Yeah. Look at these foreigners doing this weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, all that stuff in there, and it what brings me to what you initially asked, Cam, of what's a weakness to me, or not my strongest thing, is actually going to people and trying to have conversations, I mean, cold conversations about faith and Jesus and the Bible or whatever we're trying to do. And I think what Levi said is what I can relate to as well. Is like, my personality is not wired to do that well. I know some people have like a very outgoing personality that can just like go and have a conversation with anybody. I have a friend, Peter, that can just walk up to anybody and then they're like best friends because he can just talk to them and find something they have an interest in and then they'll just be great conversations. That's not what I'm wired to do. If I'm having a conversation about faith with people I care about or know, it can come from a place of having a relationship over time and then like that can come out of that. And that has happened before and been good, but cold conversations have never been my strength. And I don't think they ever will. I think that's just not my strength.
Yeah.
As a human.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely resonate with that. And I think that, you know, kind of what we were saying of growing up, for me in the church, feeling like, oh, but you're supposed to have that kind of personality. You're supposed to be okay with, you know, the cold conversations.
If you don't, they're going to suffer.
Right. Know? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it took, you know, growing up and getting into, you know, my adult years of figuring out. And one of the passages, I think, scripture references you shared, Cam, maybe in your teaching, was that one from 1 Thessalonians 4, which has kind of always been one of my favorites. And we were joking about this last night, actually, at my community group, because part of it is just really funny. I was like, I want to get this like kind of embroidered on a pillow or something. It's just, you should mind your own business. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. You should mind your own business. That's out of context. But this idea of make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And this idea of like the way that, yes, you know, evangelism can be about or is about sharing, you know, the good news of Jesus with words, but you can do that in the context of relationships and through your daily sort of like life, the way you go about life and build relationships, whether that's people, you know, inside or outside the church, your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your coworkers, and having that opportunity to, through the way that you're living, Like people see that something is different about you, or they, you know, you're winning the respect of outsiders, and it creates this opportunity to then have conversations with people, not just like approaching a stranger on the street and like, I have no relational equity with you. And now here, let me tell you this thing that you should do with your life. In my experience, like not necessarily, that's not my strong suit and not maybe super effective when I try to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I also think like, you know, for the people who are drawn to that sort of thing and are wired for it and seem to be gifted for it. And it's like, good. That's really cool. Like, I think
we need those people.
Yeah. And how inspiring that is. And I think it can be helpful as kind of thinking of this, Levi, as you're talking, it can be helpful for us to think of evangelism as like a whole church thing and not just an individual moment. You know, this thing was said and then, you know, boom, this person has come to faith in Jesus. But faith is a lot more robust in the sense of, okay, you know, somebody has a conversation with a stranger in a park, they want to follow Jesus, they get plugged into a church. And a lot of times you need to have some type of education before you get baptized. You know, you need to learn about this Jesus that you want to follow, and you want to make sure that this is really what you want to do. And, you know, having a whole group of people who are helping those who have been evangelized to follow Jesus and to do it well, and all of that, kind of that holistic approach of evangelism where it's all really actually really important and vital. If you only have one and not the other, then you're kind of missing things. So understanding that, like, for a good amount of people, it'll probably look a lot like just leading a quiet life and playing some type of role in the church, kind of as the body of Christ. And then for other people who are more wired, you know, for that, just being out there saying hey to strangers, talking about Jesus, inviting them to church.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that, you know, those roles can't flip-flop or you can't like have experiences in one or the other, but that it's not just you do this and I do this and that's that, and one's more valuable than the other.
Yeah. And I think that, like, as a responsible, we have a responsibility that we're growing in our discipleship to not, like, I'm saying that's my weaker point. That's not something I can just say, that's my weaker point, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
There will be places where it will be important for me to have conversations with people, maybe not cold conversations, but within relationships and, you know, opportunities to have deeper conversations where people can ask, like, oh, I see this or that. You know, like, tell me about your church. That happens a lot. Tell me, because I work at a church. Like, where do you work at? What's your church about? That's a great way to just tell them, oh, we believe this.
Yep.
You know, here's your track. But
yeah,
I think we all have a responsibility to find our way in that without just dismissing it, you know, as weakness or something like that. Admitting that we don't have to embrace the whole thing. Josh was telling story in the opening teaching of the series about our friend Chad that does this kind of thing. And I traveled with this guy for a while and he can't help it. He just runs up to people, or just like, we were at Fire on the Mountain. Nice. And he was just talking to the lady that, you know, ring us up, and she's like, yeah, my back hurts. And he's like, oh, really? Can I pray for that? And they just had a great conversation. I don't know if that meant anything to her, but in that moment, he told her about Jesus in a very impactful way. That may or may not be anything. And it was 3 minutes and that was it. And he probably did that a dozen times throughout the day. And we need people like that, but we can't all be like that, because then it would just be chaos out there if everybody was trying to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, with that and with what you were saying, Cam, about maybe the way that, like, I kind of thought about stuff when I was growing up is, you know, thinking of, like, you know, the Great Commission, go and make disciples, and that was more about, like, conversion numbers or something where you're like, oh, this person said yes to Jesus, and now my responsibility is done, but that's not really making disciples, and it's, you know, this idea of, you know, in the context of a church community and the way that we, I mean, the way that we ourselves, as even if we've been following Jesus for years, like, we're growing in our apprenticeship and how we follow Jesus. like we have a responsibility to teach other people those ways and to help them. And that's like a process of, you know, making disciples. Mm-hmm. It's not just like this one time event. And so that there, I think there's lots of room within all of that, you know, with the way that we interact with people and help them along the way and continue to share the truth about Jesus and what it means to follow him, in helping to shape people into disciples and better disciples as we all grow together, you know? So there's a lot, I think a bigger picture of what it means to maybe evangelize people than just the like one time event. Oh, I got this person to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And now my responsibility is done.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think of like, or I even think, you know, as we're talking about this, how much the three of us have probably changed over the years and how like, you know, maybe 60-year-old Levi is the type of person who's walking in the park and just starts talking to, you know, strangers about Jesus and in an impactful way, or 70-year-old Patrick is praying for, you know, the barista that has an injury or something like that. And that's just kind of part of your thing in that season.
That's a great point.
I think of like, you know, justice for me was kind of the thing that I felt like strongest and now I feel weakest in this season and not in like a condemning way, but in a way of like, man, just with life responsibilities and kids and all of that, you know, I just don't have the space time-wise or resources or even the mental space to really be attuned to like the needs around me in our city as much as I think I could be otherwise, and I'm okay with that. But I think probably in 20 years, I would hope it would look different in my life, you know?
Yeah, and I think you make a great point that when it comes to following Jesus in our lives, everybody is in different seasons and the seasons consistently change. So it's okay to admit where you're at and look forward to other times, but not like dismiss the time you're in. But, you know, you can't do everything all the time. When it comes to the justice thing, I think also that's one that draws me. I remember reading articles in a magazine about like how to be a modern day activist. And it was like, just don't buy stuff from a sweatshop. And I was like 22 years old. And I was like, what?
I could do that.
Yeah. Cause you know, like that's just, even like on the hit show Friends, they make jokes about how, you know, their stuff is from a sweatshop or something. I remember that joke specifically. So it's not like it's nothing that people aren't aware of. It's just what you can do with it or where you want to actually process that level of justice. And to me, when it turns into like, oh, I can just buy this thing instead of that thing, that called to me pretty clearly and a simplified way of thinking. And now like there's a witness to that to me. Like I also have a season of life where I have these little kids in my house. They're getting bigger, but they're still little. But they ask questions like, why aren't we buying that chocolate or something like that? And I'll say like, well, some chocolate is not good. And then kind of give them like whatever is the age appropriate answer to that. Because they'll know like, why don't we ever have those Reese's cups at our house or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just what we do, you know? But I think that there is a point, I feel good about it because there is a witness happening in our house. You're teaching these little kids about why we do certain things. And that's a important witness to have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting too, I think, thinking about justice in that way. Because when you, Cam, were like kind of first bringing that up, I think there's part of me that thinks like, man, justice sometimes feels like such a big thing that I feel like it's overwhelming. Patrick is getting water right now.
I hope you can hear that.
You can definitely hear
it. He's getting a lot of water. How's that water?
I'm trying to clear my throat. Can't clear it.
But there's a, I think sometimes it can feel like with justice, thinking about like, that there's this bigger kind of element that feels overwhelming sometimes of changing structures and, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're like, how do I do that? How can I do that? And, you know, I think in my like early 20s, it's interesting. I feel like I kind of had a similar thing to like what you were talking about, Cam, of like me and some friends would go and either just go out on the streets of Portland and talk to people, homeless people, or we would go like serve at like one of the men's shelters. And, you know, we would like, they would have like a chapel time and we'd go do that. And then we would just hang out like all night out with the guys outside. And we would, you know, bring food to people or we would do whatever. And I feel like maybe as a younger person, I was like, oh, this is like, I'm making a difference. I'm doing whatever. And I think it can be easy. I know maybe for me, like maybe one of my weaknesses then is like, as I've gotten older, almost feeling a little bit like jaded or something, or like, or you start thinking like, oh man, you know, the, what I was doing, was it really making a difference? Was it really impactful? Like, was there really justice happening? Is anything really changing? And you get a little bit like, you know, maybe for me, like I can get discouraged because I think there's so much that needs to happen and I can't really like, or how can I really make a difference? So I think like, you know, looking at like what you were talking about, Patrick, of looking at justice in kind of these smaller ways and teaching these things to your kids and having that kind of mindset about it feels maybe a little bit more like attainable, or like if we all did little things like that together, it's more impactful.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this might sound a bit sacrilegious, but Jesus kind of seems like a buzzkill when he's telling his disciples, hey, you're always going to have the poor around you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, dude, that is not good. Like, that's not inspiring. That's discouraging, right. Yeah. You know? But then at the same time, realizing that Jesus was very committed to helping the poor and the needy and those on the margins of society. And apparently he cared about changes to structures. You know, he's bringing a new kingdom that's important to him. That's a whole structural change in the world. So he cares about that. But caring for those on the margins and those in need and poor, hungry, you know, whoever, you know, it wasn't like either I'm making the systemic change or it's worthless. You know, he still thought those individuals, even if it seemed a bit not pragmatic, he still cared about the individuals enough to help them, which is really cool. And also, again, a bit of a, oh man, but I think in a good way, we want to see the place where nobody's hungry. Everybody has shelter. You know, their basic needs are met. That's amazing. That'd be amazing. And God cares about that stuff, you know. So kind of, yeah, balancing like the impact you can have systemically versus the impact you can have on an individual in a given moment, you know, that's challenging.
Yeah. And that's kind of just making me think about, you know, is it like in Acts when in the early church talking about how everybody was like basically selling their stuff and giving it and there was no needy among them. And there's, it's easy to maybe think about that as in like at a societal level or something. And you're like, well, no, they're talking about the church. And it's again, going maybe kind of to this thing of like what we were talking about with evangelism is that it can feel discouraging maybe for me if I'm like approaching all this as an individual and saying, look, I got to go out and do this. And, oh, is that making a difference? Versus like being part of a church community that is amongst us as a community, like, you know, we are working to provide for people, yes, within the church, and trying to make sure that there's no needy person among us, like the needs of people are being taken care of. And I think we do that in a lot of different ways at Van City. And then our church kind of becomes a witness to the, you know, the rest of our city or our neighborhoods or whatever it is, where it's like, we're working to, like, you know, make this a reality within our family, our church community. And then that can, like, spread out, and we don't have to approach it as individuals. We're approaching it together. We're, yeah, I don't know if that's making sense.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think so. It's maybe taking a little bit of the pressure off of the individual act versus the collective, like, hey, there's meaning and purpose behind this together, you know?
Yeah.
Good stuff. You know, I think to kind of put a bow on this conversation, you know, as people are listening and thinking about their own witness and their own, you know, justice or mercy or evangelism. I guess we didn't touch on mercy, but that's all right. Maybe we're all stars at it or something, or just mediocre. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just mediocre.
The listener can take that as they will.
Yeah. But, you know, thinking through those three things and, you know, the encouragement of seeing it through like a formation lens of over time, you're going to be changing in these three areas and as a witness, and kind of just keeping in step with the Spirit in order to, you know, I don't think Jesus was like pressuring me through the Spirit with like conviction of like, you should not be giving hamburgers to homeless people. That's not the most effective, efficient way to do justice. I think it was my best efforts at that time of what I knew about him and what maybe his kingdom looked like. And I think that effort, he was honored by that and appreciated that. And I learned eventually more about how to do that, maybe in a way that made sense. And that was as a result of just keeping in step with him, of keeping attuned to the Spirit, allowing him to shape me and grow me at his pace. So if, like, you know, today you're like, I don't know, maybe I don't know about justice, but I feel like I should give a sandwich to somebody who's homeless. Great. Do that. And if, you know, and if it's just that one time act, think of it as like, Jesus, I just want to do this thing that honors you. Or if you're like, I just feel really impressed that I need to make a change in my life in order to have more space to do this thing or that thing, allowing the Spirit to kind of walk with you in that and shape that and just to see what he has, because he'll take care of your formation. You just, you know, you just got to keep in step with him and keep saying yes to him.
Yeah,
I guess that's a great way to put it.
Is that the end?
Thank you for listening to the Van City Midweek Podcast. To know more about what's going on at Van City, you can go to vancity.church.